Well, good afternoon to all of you. It's great to see your smiling faces. Now, I'm wondering, how many of you know what today is? What separates today from any other day in the year? Oh, what's that you said, CJ? Deer season opens today? Well, that's true, but that's not what I had in mind. But as we all know, if you've been in the church for a long time, the second Sabbath after the Feast of Tabernacles, something a little unusual happens, yet very predictable. We have the blessing of the little children. Now, it could be, if we looked at it a certain way, just one more yearly tradition we have. But if we were to look at it that way, we'd probably be missing something. Now, some of you, I can see that you don't have kids, maybe you're single, and you think, oh, I know what he's going to say, I know what scripture they're going to go to, and it doesn't apply to me. Maybe you're married, but you don't have kids, and you think, we don't have little kids, it doesn't apply to us. Or some, the kids have already left the nest. Could this event apply to them? Well, the answer is it applies to all of them. If you think about it, when Jesus Christ set this pattern of blessing the children, he was single, and he didn't have kids. And yet he still set this example for us. I'd like to ask a question. It's super basic, and it may seem like it's a little off course, but we'll come right back. And that is, what is a Christian? Is a Christian someone who knows all about Jesus Christ? Is a Christian someone who believes that Jesus Christ existed? Is a Christian someone who knows all of what Jesus taught? None of those things would make you a Christian. A Christian is someone who follows Christ, who does and thinks the things that Christ did and thought, someone who emulates his behavior. So when we look at Mark 10 and verse 13, we see that there is the blessing of the little children. And it's a short little part of the Bible. And the brevity of this story belies the fact that there's a lot of information contained in there. So let's begin reading. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. And he said unto them, suffer the children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall not enter therein. And he took them up into his arms, and he laid hands on them, and he blessed them. Just a few short verses. But there's an awful lot contained in there. So let's take a look at how Christ blessed these children. And we have to understand that the blessing of the children is more than a yearly tradition. The blessing of children is kind of like the Passover service. We go through a ritual once a year. We enact out what Jesus Christ did. But we all know Passover is far more than a one-time and done event. It's an attitude of something that should take place all year long, every day. We should have this attitude of washing one another's feet, of serving, of accepting the sacrifice that Jesus Christ did for us. It's something that should change how we live and operate every day. Well, the blessing of the little children is much the same way. Now, let's just look at a few things. First of all, in this example of how Christ blessed the children, he gave a blessing, as it said, he put his hands, set them apart for special purpose, and he blessed them. But he also was a blessing to them. Who he was and what he did in this whole process was an additional blessing to these children. If you think about it, he took them up into his arms. Well, they may not have known it, the people alive at that time, but now we know, and certainly Jesus Christ, who created the human beings and the mind and all of our complexities, knows and knew how we were put together. And now science tells us touch is very important. It's a bonding thing. And in hospitals, if they have premature babies and they put them in the little incubators, if they're not touched, they die. So first of all, he touched them. He brought them up to their level. Okay? So he's inviting them into a relationship. There's tenderness. There's affection. There's kindness. This is not someone who's standoffish. Hey, do you know who I am? I'm the leader. I'm the savior. I'm going to change the whole world. I've got work to do. I've got to be about my father's business. No, he wasn't distant. He was humble. He brought the kids right up to his eye level. There's a lot going on here that we might easily miss if we don't stop to think about it. He works with these kids face to face. And it's interesting when it says he was greatly displeased and he told those people, he says, hey, look, don't forbid them at all. What do you think that did to those kids hearing that? Kids are bright. And he's saying, look, these people are important. He put them and gave them, showed them respect. In essence, he's saying, hey, these kids have a lot of value. He's building them up, and he set an example to all around. The kids are important. They have value. And that I'm about my father's business, and this is part of my father's business. You don't stop them from coming and interacting. He's treating them as equal. He's treating them as very important, showing that kids have great value. There's a lot that's going on right there. The other thing that's interesting, he didn't tell them, oh, I'll make an appointment with my secretary, my people get back to your people, and maybe we can do this thing in a couple of months. When they came and had the need, he lent himself. He gave himself to take care of their need. And he didn't make them feel bad that they came and asked for anything. He didn't make them feel weak or less in any way. It's very interesting what God did. The other thing, we have to stop and think. It doesn't exactly tell it, but if we just use a little reasoning, we can understand that this point would be true. He gave what he had. He didn't give something he didn't have. He didn't stop and go and borrow money and go buy them clothes or toys. He gave what he had. Now, he has connections to God the Father that maybe you and I don't. So whatever the blessing, whatever the words he asked for those children, he knew that he had that access and he could give it. So he gave what he had according to his abilities and his talents. That's what Christ gave. Now, another point that's interesting when we think about how does God bless people? Now, he does it with children this way, but there's a bigger pattern that we can look through the Bible and see how does God often bless people. And many times, to bless you or this group of people, he uses someone else. If we think about it, how were the Jews saved from being destroyed? Well, God used Esther, didn't he? He gave her favor and put her in a position so that she could then pass on that blessing to all these people. How did God save Abraham and his family from starving when the famines hit? Did he not put Joseph in a position to be in charge and running the wealthiest country in the world at that time? So we could go, if time allowed, we could go through Deborah, how God saved and delivered Israel with Deborah. We could go through Samson, delivering Israel from the hand of the Philistines. How about when God wanted to bestow a blessing upon a Gentile nation, Assyria? Give them a chance to repent. He sent Jonah. So many times the pattern is clear that God uses people to bless other people. Blessings are passed on that way very often. With children, it's no different. Many times he uses people to bless children. So what about us? How would that apply to us, those that don't have kids? Well, we still need to, if we're Christians, live as Jesus Christ lived. We need to reach out and be a blessing to our children. It doesn't matter if we have children or not. Jesus Christ reached out and he would bless children. And of course, if we had more time, we could go through all the promises that God gives to children and all of the warnings that if you mistreat the fatherless, the homeless, the stranger, children, these all have one thing in common. They need a little protection. They cannot fully take care of themselves. And God says he's a defender of those that can't defend themselves. He's looking out and he's taking note. And over in the Bible, he says, be kind to them, be gentle with them, so that I can richly bless you. God's looking to see who will take care of those little ones. What's the scripture that says, when you've done it unto one of these little ones, you've done it unto me. God takes it very personally how we treat children. And the children in our congregation are precious. They're very important. And we have the opportunity to be a blessing to them. How could we be a blessing? Well, sometime back we actually received a sermonette which was simple but very heartfelt, talking about how we need to share our time, our talents, and our treasure with one another. Well, this would be very true with our kids as well. The children running around here should know that they are loved and cared for and valued in our congregation. It should be a place of safe haven for them. Now, we can do it with our words as well. Now, we have to be careful with our words. We could also curse them and hurt them, but we can build them up. We can say things that would be a benefit to them. Let me give you an example of someone that I think illustrates this attitude of blessing children. Last year, the people coordinating the Sabbath school came up with the idea of asking the kids, who do you want to hear from? And the kids quickly came up with a list of people they would like to hear from. So they went to these people and said, you know, you've been requested by the kids to come and speak. And some of those people said, sure, you call, I'll come. And I remember one person in particular. When he came, he sat down on a chair right in the middle, made a little circle, told the parents, you can listen, but get into the back. I want the kids real close to me. He drew them in, and he talked to them. I think he lived out the very blessing. He drew them close. He looked to them eye to eye, friend to friend, and talked to them in a way and told them that they were called and they were chosen. All they had to do was respond to that calling, and they would be chosen. He told them that they had a relationship with God, that they could be part of the kingdom of God. He had positive expectations. So I think if we take time to look around, we will find that every one of us has opportunities, whatever our abilities and our little connections in this congregation are, that we can make a difference in their lives. We can find ways to bless them. And when we do, we're going to be pleasing God, and we're going to be making a stronger church. So today, later on, once I quiet down and get off the stage, they're going to be putting hands on these children, and they're going to bless them. The elders are going to come up and do that. But tomorrow, it is my hope that we will go on blessing our children so that it is true that God would have blessed the children of our congregation.